Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rob, who is here to speak with us about his experience of being a far-flung practitioner. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Good. So I'll tell you, you know, the inspiration for thinking it would be so fun to have you on to talk about your experience was getting to see you at the Bridgewalk, and you're reminding us that you've been practicing for many, many years. I think 10, did you say?
Yep.
And you were, the Bridgewalk was your first chance to be with Sangha in person, and yet here you are with a really well-established practice, and we thought it would be so fun just to highlight what is it like to build a practice from afar, to be able to take advantage of all the practice opportunities that technology makes available to us these days, to be able to really build a solid practice from wherever you are.
Well, it's really true. There are just so many great supports, and they allow us to kind of communicate so directly and wonderfully that it really is possible to have a strong practice. And I think back to kind of how I edged into practice through Sherry's books, and I was thinking today that there's this interesting connection between the handwritten text, which is so friendly and approachable, and then the book just sort of had this, you know, website in the back, and that led to open air, and that led to, then people were calling in, and then all as the various practice supports came in, it's just been really friendly and welcoming and encouraging the whole time.
You know, that's really beautiful, Rob. I've heard a number of people over the years refer to the how unique and special the handwriting of the book is. And I love that connection that you're making, that for a lot of people, the first portal into practice, it certainly was for me, is someone handed me this book, you know. And as you say, just looking at it, there's something different about it. And then, of course, all the titles are spectacular in and of themselves, even if you never open the book. I think we were joking about that.
Exactly.
An opener. But, yes, that being the first entry, and it right there from the start, it's such a welcoming, open kind of a symbol, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then once I was kind of inside and hearing more of the shows and reading more of the books and the email classes, started getting on that boat, which is a wonderful support. I think the thing that I started to really appreciate is that the communication with us far-flung folk is through language. And when I step back, it's one of the really characteristic things to me about our Sangha is that there's such care for language. And it's not sort of tense and anxious care, but it's sort of joyous and creative care. And, you know, Sherry is such a great model of the fun of observing a moment and the trying to put it into the most accurate, funny, precise words possible. And in a way, that's kind of the game that I feel we're all playing, is this wonderful, you know, tracking down the bamboozles, tracking down these moments, and putting them into language in a way that makes sense to us. And I think so many of us are doing it that there's got to be something that resonates with everyone. You know, you just find those moments where you just go, all the lights go on, and you go, yes, that's exactly how I experience it.
Yes. Wow. That is really beautifully put, Rob. And what I love about that is, one, I know from all directions that what you're saying is absolutely accurate. I mean, the care and attention that is paid to every single detail, every single word in every single book, every communication that goes out really is there. And it's so beautiful that that's communicated such that someone like you who's reading it, who's receiving it, can really feel that, can really experience it, and that you're paying close enough attention to see that. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it the another dimension that really makes me feel included. And, you know, I was thinking about this too, that it is this real moment of kind of courage and commitment. I really saw it clearly a few years ago. Well, you know, a couple of years into being attuned into practice, well, I just saw, you know, I'm faced with a choice here. I could choose to feel like I'm far away and I don't belong, or I can take this leap and just go, I belong. and that I belong in this, you know, I'm part of this group. And there's something, I mean, that's, in a way, that's the same leap that we're making constantly in practice. Like, I belong here in life. I belong in the moment. And there's so much support for making that, but it is something that I think, if I can project, you know, that probably many of the far-flung people feel that same thing too. And it was, there's such a welcoming, when I made that leap, there was such a welcoming confirmation. But then the cool thing almost is I don't really need outside confirmation because practice taught me how to feel that way myself, and that's so liberating.
It is so liberating, isn't it? So, in other words, practice walks that razor's edge for all of us, where it's modeling for us, you know, our own hearts, but it's not doing what it knows we can do for ourselves. So it teaches us the process that we have that internally to turn to.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's really magical. And then I would say it's just as so many people say, it's such a wonderful suite of different opportunities. And you know, my experiences in busy times, I do a few of them, and in when things are slower in the rest of my life, I'll do everything for a while. But part of what practice has taught me too is to, you know, no judgments about that. No, it's like some email classes, I managed to get my assignment done and I read 3 or 4 other people's comments and that's fine. And then other email classes, I read everything and swim in it and really dive deep, and that's fine too.
Yep. Good for you. That's exactly the attitude of mind, isn't it? Because of course then it's we love the experience. You know, we love that experience of being in practice and we want to do more. If it turns into a should and a punishment, then we know what happens there.
Yep, exactly. And it is great practice to miss an email, one of the deadlines, and just go, again, you get a cold shiver and conditioning rears its head, and it's like, you know what? This is a choice. This is actually a choice moment now. I can do that old guilty thing, or I can just go, you know, big deal, now, next time. Next, you know. Next assignment.
Exactly. It's a mini version of that big one you were talking about, where you had that choice point, you know, some years back of realizing, okay, I could be out here and figure I don't belong, I'm far away, or I could realize, of course I belong, and jump in to that reality, which is the main bamboo we're always in, isn't it? That conditioning is trying to separate us from life, and then we say, well, no, actually, how could I be separate from life? I'm here, and of course I belong.
Exactly. You know, there's one other thing too that I would love to say to the other long distance people like me. After I had the great pleasure and fun of going to the bridge walk for the first time, something I was wondering about for years and years. Gassho is actually a real thing. They actually really put their hands together and bow. It's not just a word. It was awesome. I didn't know. I was like, when I introduced myself to the first person, it was like, okay, are we going to do a thing with our hands now? And it was, sure enough, yes, we do.
I love it, Rob. Wow. That to me is a stop and take it in moment. Wow. That's so beautiful. Right, because that movement it's exactly what you just described. Putting our hands together, my heart and your heart are one, is the translation we use for it. And bowing is the seeing through that bamboozle, the bamboozle of separation that practice teaches us. Wow.
That's cool. Well, that's cool to hear you say that, because it was really, yeah, it had, you know, I wouldn't have, I hadn't, had no words for it, but I could feel it. It was this, like, wonderful little, wonderful sign of sort of respect, and it wasn't like any other greeting. It's not a sort of friends group thing or, you know, other kinds
yeah.
of, just in Sangha, and it was very sweet. And people are super welcoming. Mm-hmm. By the way, just to tell everybody too, like it's worth it to go up there. Everybody's super nice.
And I think I remember you saying that this won't be the last we see of you in person.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's just been a matter of life circumstances, I want to get out there somewhere for workshops, and love to get up to the monastery.
Yep.
So thank
Good
you
for
so
you.
Much,
Good
all
for you,
of
Rob.
You for all. It really works. Practice works, and all those things that you send out here, we love them.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, everyone's participation is a huge gift, and your participation this afternoon has definitely been a gift to all of us. So thank you very, very much for being here with us this afternoon and sharing your experience.
Thanks so much for asking me, and gassho, and yes, I'm doing it.
Gassho to you, Rob. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Rob. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that fun?
That was very fun. It was great.
Did you meet Rob?
Yes, I did. Yes,
yeah,
I did. I had the great privilege of doing that.
Yeah, so I'm sure he doesn't know this, but now he will, that as much of a privileged environment as we keep, and goodness knows we do, that word went through that gathering in a matter of minutes, I'm sure. There's a man here who's been practicing with us for 10 years, and this is the first thing he's done in person. You know, it's just whoosh. going to a prison, right? I'm sure rumors go through prisons like that. I don't know why I said that, actually, but it seemed like that's how it goes. I haven't been, so I don't know that firsthand experience. But it was so fun to see how excited people were. You know, it's like we've got this relative that we didn't even know existed, who just came to the family reunion.
Yeah.
And there's just such excitement in it. So, and I'm glad Rob brought that up, that kind of that aspect of it, because I know that there are so many people out there who participate but don't feel like they really belong. You know, they're not actually a part of practice, not really. And first of all, the point that he made that, yes, it's perfectly possible to feel like we belong in practice, in life. And then the second piece of it, to realize that, we really are going to be very excited to meet that person who's practicing alongside us. We haven't had a chance to meet yet. We're going to be very excited to meet that person. So make the trip when you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I just love how he said that really it's a choice. And it's a critical one. I mean, for all of us.
Yes.
How much we see each other in person or we're far flung, you know, it's that fundamental point of Zen, which is the separation. And so am I going to participate? Am I going to belong here, or am I going to sit off to the side and suffer?
Yeah, yeah. Choose to believe the voices in my head, or put it to the test and find out. Can I really have that sense of belonging in the moment, in life, in Sangha? Can I learn to be in that place for myself? And of course, the answer is always yes. Yes, I can, but I do have to choose it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have some notes.
I know you do, Michael. I know you do, and I'm going to let you do them because I really want you to. But I wanted to say something else that Rob and Jen reminded me of. We talk so much about trusting life, about just in each moment being here instead of lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, and learning to trust that what life has for us is so much more, so much better than anything those voices could ever imagine or plan for us or promise us or anything else. And I go back to when I handed June this typewritten scroll of stuff, and because I knew she had a couple of degrees in English, and I figured anybody with a couple of degrees in English can certainly make a book out of a mess like this. And it was necessary at that point for her to hand letter it. Thank God she had that skill. For her to hand letter it because we couldn't afford anything else. And of course it was such a, nowadays, so many things are possible that just weren't possible then. Then there was the real world of real books and real people who made real books, and there wasn't really anything else. And so to come out with something that is hand lettered, maybe a kid's book would come out with some funky kind of letter. I don't even know if kid's books did in the back in the day. But at any rate, real books certainly didn't. And so that feeling of, we're just not, it's just not the same. We're just not up to snuff. And probably at some point, if we keep doing this, we'll get to the point where we can afford to put out a real book. And then years later, Shambhala, when they were going to print, because another publisher did print one of our books, right? And they wanted it typeset. In fact, that happened to us twice. And then Shambhala came along, and they wanted to do one of our books, Making a Change for Good. And they said, when I talked to them about, and of course it's going to be, it's not going to look the, and they said, oh, no, we don't want to change that. That's why we want to do this. And it was just one of those moments of realizing all the people who have come to this practice because they liked handwritten books. They're the kind of people who want to read things that are presented in a simple and clear a way as the person putting it out can make it. That they don't want lofty tomes of, maybe they do. Maybe they also want that. They could want both. But they're not, they don't say, oh, well, this is second rate. Who are these people? They can't even afford to put out a real book. That's not the people who are in our practice. And so life in its infinite compassion and wisdom just arranges things, it would seem, for the best outcome for everybody. So those of us who like things done in this way have come together, and we can come together to support one another in being in a place of well-being about our choices for what attracts us and what we're drawn to and how we take in information and how we respond to things and like that. So it's just, I'm so grateful for it. And over time, of course, it has been a huge part of what taught me and enabled me to choose to be still in the moment and wait until the intelligence that animates informs, and then to trust that and to move forward with that. So it was just a very fun reminder of all of that for me. So thank you. Thank you. Now I'll let you give us our reminders.
Yes, I love that, Sherry. Thank you. And I think, yes, exactly as you were saying, the handwritten nature of it, to me, points to the simplicity of our practice And as you said, in as clear and simple a language as you can communicate it, because it is so simple, and that's what you're trying to communicate. So it's,
yes,
it's so consistent.
Yes. Which reminds me of the number of people through the years who, when confronted with this, look at me and say, it can't be that simple.
Yeah.
Of course, then we can just laugh and say, well, actually, not only can it be, it is. It really is. So we're attempting to get to the simplicity that life is. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Good.
Michael.
Okay.
Yep.
Here are the announcements. The registration deadline for your new email class on communication has been extended a few hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So folks can sign up by 9 p.m. Pacific time today. That's a few hours after the radio show is over, for an opportunity to discover your style of communication and become aware of how the ego orientation muddles connection.
Aha, and goodness knows it does its best, doesn't it, to do that?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And virtual meditation groups have a new format that feels more like sitting with Sangha at the monastery. For new call-in numbers and an updated schedule, go to the virtual meditation group's webpage at the Living Compassion website.
Wow.
And, yes. And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 10, Permanence, and the assignment for week 4. And for more
isn't that one of those amazing things? So we were going through that, the 15th annual Bridge Walk is on the 15th of October, and here we have this book with 52 weeks of bamboozles that we can see through, and we have a whole year to do it, and we can do it together. I mean,
yes.
isn't that just gorgeous?
Yes. Yes, it is. Great.
Okay.
And I'm sure Rob is participating as one of the excellent far-flung offerings that we have.
I bet so. As it, in the way that he so beautifully put it, if it's not, when it's not a terribly busy time, he dives in and dives deep. And when things get really busy, he does a little bit less. So that he stays in an attitude of practice is something he wants to do instead of letting conditioning turn it over and make it a should, right? So that it'll go by the wayside.
Yeah.
And that's such a wise perspective.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And for more information, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a 5-minute conversation focused on one topic is really helpful. You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Well, hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
What's going on?
Oh, gosh. I could talk a lot about all kinds of things, but I think what I'm going to focus on is some place I get hung up, which is acceptance versus making a change. And I conditioning just trips me up in that it makes it appear as some kind of duality. You can have one or not the other. Accept your life, like your circumstances, for instance, right here, and then it's sort of implied that acceptance means this is the way it is forever, and then so
right.
I want to make a change in some way. Then why am I changing? Because I should just be accepting everything.
Yes. Yes, and which we can know is bogus simply by a quick little look around life, right? Life is changing everything in every split second. There must be probably in physics a word for the amount of time that it takes for everything in the universe to change, right? And yet we would be fooled, and you're not alone in this, into thinking that acceptance means actually keeping everything the same in spite of the rapid movement of life.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, so it once again, the world of opposites. So conditioning would call acceptance the conditioned reaction of attempting to keep everything the same for as long as possible.
Conditioning would call acceptance the attempt to keep everything the same for as long as possible. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, for instance, an awful lot of people seem to have jobs that they don't really like. And so the impulse arises to do something different. And conditioning says, especially if the person has an awareness practice, so conditioning says, well, but if you were the right spiritual person, you would be content to be in this job that you don't like. Whereas the impulse to take another job or whatever it is that arises could very well be the intelligence that animates saying, well, you know, there are other things that you could do. Just because you're in this job doesn't mean you have to stay in it. But that gets written off as ego. Right? So ego is just trying to get you to be a bad spiritual person by leaving this job that makes you miserable and looking for something that you would enjoy more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we have to be heads up with this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, it's especially like, I was listening to one of your books my recorder somewhere. Whenever acceptance comes up in the frame of practice, it's always right there with the quick, being the right spiritual person. And I know it's a bamboozle and all that, but discontinuous. But
this is Chris. This is one of my favorite places with that. A game to play just to get really clear. Okay, so let's say it's work. You know, it could be anything, but let's say it's work. So here are the voices. Oh, this is so miserable. I hate this. I can't live. I don't like this. I'm trapped here. I hate this. Okay, so until they make you just thoroughly miserable. Every day you get up and they start in on you, you're going to have to go spend another 8, 9, 10 hours there. You're going to be stuck in traffic. And what about your boss and your coworkers? You know, on and on and on and on until you're miserable. And finally you get so miserable that you say, I'm leaving. I'm quitting. I'm going to turn in my notice today. I'll give them 2 weeks, but that's it. I'm out of here. And the voices start shrieking. You can't do that. You can't quit. That's crazy. What are you going to do? You're going to wind up homeless. What's going to happen? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to? And so you say, you know, you're right. That's crazy. I can't quit my job. And so you decide to stay. And they start in again. This is miserable. I hate this. This is horrible. Why do you put up with this stuff? And you can go back and forth and just get them to do, instead of you being the victim to that kind of stuff, you can be poking them. You know, just say, okay, you're right. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And watch them go crazy.
Yes. Yes, I've had that exact experience with a different economy.
I bet. I suspected
exactly
you had.
Miserable and miserable. Oh, this other thing. Oh, but if I do that, then there's this other thing. And, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Which is why, as you know, my obsession is we have to get out of the conversation. Because the truth of the matter, as I see it, is that no matter what we do, if we're paying attention, we're going to see something important.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And that's my experience also.
Yes. But if we follow its, version of acceptance, and many, many people do, then what happens is we will see the same thing or not see the same thing through a lifetime. But, you know, if we start throwing things up into the air, we're going to reveal a lot of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that we could have perhaps not seen for a lifetime because we were in the same place doing the same thing. Were we happy in the same place doing the same thing? God, no. But we weren't seeing any of the other karma, which is a big part of ego's motivation for keeping us in one place at a manageable level of suffering.
That's juicy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's good to be with you. I want to say, too, a long time ago I made a commitment to call in every 6 weeks because I was always so busy on Tuesdays. But now my schedule for like the last year has been totally different, and now every Tuesday I'm off in time. So I think I'll just change it up. And
make that commitment again.
Yeah, I'll do the first Thursday of the month, and I'll keep calling until I get in, and then I'll make it the month from there. So that's what I'll do.
There you go. There you go. And that's really important, isn't it? Every one of us who practices could say, oh, I made a commitment to, and then I haven't. So watching that process and realizing, of course, that the doing it is not the point, right? Although I love to hear from you, and I love to hear how you're doing. But the point is that you're keeping your word to yourself. That's the point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All right. Take good care, Chris.
You too. Thank you.
Good night,
Michael. Good
night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, goody.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. This is Brad giving you a call from Annapolis, Maryland.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was on retreat with you this past
summer. I know you were.
And it was a lot of fun. As much fun as you could have.
We did have a good time, didn't we?
It was wonderful, really. Very, very helpful. I am calling you guys because for these past 4 months, now I've been really resumed in practice for, I guess, about the past 2.5-3 years, but these past 4 months, I have been really solid with my commitments. And
I'm going to ask you about one of them. You know I am.
Yes, I have 130 days of consistent meditation. Yes.
Wow. That is so inspiring.
Thanks.
That's amazing. I can't remember what you were at on the retreat. It seemed like it was it 70 or something, 75,
something like that? Yeah, I'm not good with math. We'll have to figure out that another call.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. So, yeah, I'm still after it, you know.
Wow, that is so inspiring.
Very nice to say. So what I'm noticing lately, and I've noticed this before, even before I came to Zen and when I tried to stick to something, these past 4 months, I was really solid with my commitments. And then I noticed about 2.5-3 weeks ago, I heard the voices saying, well, now it's too easy. And then I heard, get a load of this. And then I heard, well, what's the point of keeping this at this point? So it almost went from there complaining that it's one way. And now they're complaining that it's hard again. And what I'm beginning to believe is that I need to slack off in a way, or that I can slack off in a way, and I'm afraid that I'm losing the grip on my commitments.
Uh-huh.
And my coach and I have set another commitment, which is in addition to the other four that I keep, that has been very challenging, and that is to keep my time on the internet down to an hour a day, just because my mind goes to la-la land if I'm on the internet mm-hmm. too long, and that can happen very easily throughout the day. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
With these commitments, and I tell myself at work, the mentor keeps telling me, you know, stay focused, but there is this belief that I'm believing that, you know, that I'm going to fail or I'm going to slide off or that it's okay to slide off right now.
Yeah.
And,
well, of course, you know that's bogus.
Yes.
Right. So first of all, of course, if you were in real danger, I suspect we would not be in conversation. So you're calling out of concern for your keeping your commitments, which says to me you're pretty committed to your commitments.
Yeah, but, you know, this past week and a half, I always have these major times come up where I call it ego being really hungry. And that is where ego is trying to set me up with a big sabotage. And if mm-hmm. it can't get me with a big one to make me feel bad, it will get me with several smaller ones to have mm-hmm. me at least stay in the conversation.
Yes, yes. And you know that's going on. My favorite one of this, I don't know if you were listening to Open Air when Rochelle was on, and she had run the 100 miles in preparation.
Yes, yes. I was thinking about today,
Yeah, and it was just fighting her tooth and nail to get her not to do that last mile. Right? And it sounds crazy if somebody hasn't had the experience. That's insane. And yet, that's what happens. So, yes, this is a life and death kind of a struggle that you're in. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever read the Screwtape Letters?
No, I have not.
By C.S. Lewis? Okay. Mm-mm. I would recommend it. I would recommend it
letters.
To anybody, actually. Okay. Screwtape Letters. Yeah, Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis. And what they are is a series of letters. Now, C.S. Lewis, if you don't know C.S. Lewis, is a fascinating, fascinating human being. And anyway, I won't go into who he is. But
is he the one who wrote The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe? Is that the same?
He
author,
is.
Or no?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he did in his other life. But he converted to Christianity late in life. Converted to I guess you would call it theism late in life, and then as he described it, much to his horror, he became a Christian. And so he went from completely anti to really a very deep, deep spiritual practice. And so the Screwtape Letters are a series of letters between a senior practitioner in the devil's organization mentoring his nephew, who is a junior tempter in the devil's organization. And it is one of the best books on practice ever written. And you will, as you read it, you will see what you're up against, what you're described in that book. Okay, very different language, but you'll see it.
I'll get it when I read it. Sure, right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And you can get it online. So that could, you know. You could read it online, actually, which would take care of one of your other needs. But at any rate, I think that it will hearten you and strengthen your resolve to realize how universal this is, what we're up against, and to not take it personally and to not be fooled. But this is it's big. You know, this is God and the devil wrestling for your immortal soul, as it would be said in some other traditions. And so, sometimes we just need that, okay, this is as real as it feels to me. It's not personal, but it really is this big a deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if I could just say one last thing, it very much goes in line with what you said about how if I was in real bad shape, I probably wouldn't be calling in. Because, you know, it was like I was identified for a good week and a half. It's almost like my Zen coach picked up on it. And then it's like you come out of it and there is no problem. You're kind of back at center and you're just kind of going on with life. But when that sabotage system comes up, oh, wow.
Yes. You know? And what you're saying is why it is so important to have supports in place.
Yes.
So, you know, you listen to this. You have your commitment to your sitting practice. You have a coach. You know, and I don't know what else you have set up to support yourself. And so you can only go a little bit off the rails before you run into something that's going to pop you back on. Right? Now, if you didn't have all those supports set up and that system came at you, you know, the old screw tape came at you, you could be gone for weeks, months, years. People are. They just fall into the, you know, it doesn't, and then they forget, and then they come to whatever time later, and of course what they come into is, what is the matter with you? I can't believe you did that. You had, you know, you had 180 days of meditation, and then you just wandered off. I mean, you deserve what you get. What an idiot. Now, would it be that person's fault? Not at all. But that's what they would wake up into with the hope on the part of Screwtape that you would say, oh, yeah, well, it's too late now. I mean, I might as well just give up. And you can see somebody just, you know, slide into a hell state.
Yeah. Well, I was explaining to my wife how now it's like I can pull myself out of that within a day. And before it could take days, weeks, months.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. Yeah. I guess you consider that progress, you know?
Oh, yes. Oh, we can be so grateful for that. So grateful. Oh, not,
amen.
Not, and I only say this, not really for you, but for all of us. Not arrogant, because we realize how fortunate we are to have seen what we have seen and to be pretty sure that kind of stepping off into hell is not going to happen to us in this lifetime. And we're cognizant enough of the stakes that we are committed to doing whatever is required to make sure that doesn't happen to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, it's just incredibly valuable to realize I don't have to call a therapist. All I have to do is reach for the recorder and how valuable
isn't that
it is when I'm getting in those hell states. So,
exactly.
One last thing before I go. Self-hate is nagging in my ear right now. So I have to tell you that out of those 130 days, there was one day I didn't get. But so much of
my God.
Listen, one of the things I practice is persistence and perseverance, not perfection.
There you go.
One night,
that's exactly right.
The one night
right.
I didn't manage to meditate, I was taking care of my son because my wife was out of town and he wanted me to fall asleep with him so he could get to bed. So self-hate would like you to think that meant that I didn't do 130 days consecutively. So maybe we'll just consider it 129, but you know what? We can laugh at all of that, as I heard
that's
you say
right,
earlier
because
today.
As you so wisely just said, we practice. It has nothing to do with anybody's idea of perfection.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. It's 130 days as far as I'm concerned. Being fully aware with an open, compassionate, loving heart to one's child doesn't count as paying attention, I'm going to give up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All
thank
right.
you so much
thank
for your
you
time
so much.
Tonight. And thank you, Michael. Okay, Sherry.
Good you night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. That was a great conversation, Sherry. I loved that.
It's so good. I've had that conversation with several people just in the last little while, it seems to be up, at least for me, I guess, but and others that I'm talking to, that whole notion of how conditioning is always angling for the, yeah, but here's this one little thing. And so that wasn't perfect. So nothing that you've ever done counts. And we just go, yeah, right. And keep right on going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Come right back.
Whatever.
In. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Oh, well.
Whatever. Oh, well. We are students of Zen.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And we are going to hear from our sponsor now, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk to more callers.
Good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Ellie in San Diego.
Well, hello, Ellie. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm well. Really, really good.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to follow up before I get into it. The last we spoke, it was back in July, and I was in a really challenging space, and it was really helpful. So I just wanted to say thank you, and, you know, dealing with awful things happening in the world is challenging, but that was really, it was really helpful.
Oh, good, good. It really is. Again, that's another topic that I've been talking with an awful lot of folks about, because a lot of people are really unnerved at this point. It's good.
So
why we have practice so that we don't, so that we know that we have a choice about what we attend to, and we know that our choice for what we attend to is going to give us the life that we're choosing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like recently the directing the attention is making more sense. Like initially it was like, I can't, like, that the direction, the attention goes where it goes, and I don't have a whole lot of choice in it. And now it feels like there's more choice, which is really exemplified. I just finished the group coaching Conversations with the Mentor thing.
Uh-huh.
And finally kind of got a more of a handle on how two-handed recording can work for me.
Oh, good. Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to report back, because it is really, I don't know, just the shift in like really loving and celebrating myself has been huge.
Yeah. If you think that being kind is a good idea, if you think compassion is a good thing, then what better way to be with that suspicion and to have an experience of it than to apply it to the one person who you actually intimately know.
Yeah, but conditioning kicks and screams, and it's still really uncomfortable.
Well, yes, conditioning is really uncomfortable, which is why we learn to ignore it. Because it's only uncomfortable, of course, if we're attending to it. If we're not attending to it, it's not uncomfortable at all.
True?
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It really is. It's the best. Yeah. So it's only if I look at it, if I listen to it, that it's troublesome. Otherwise, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, that's still an area of growth for me. But it just feels like things are I don't know, things are shifting, and that, like I said, that ability to be aware of the attention is growing.
It's huge. It's huge. And even though, you know, with Zen practice, with a lot of things, but we're talking about Zen practice because that's what we do. Even if you can't do whatever it is 100% of the time, it's really important to know that that's possible.
That it's possible to do it 100% of the time?
Yes. Yes. So once we accept that, then we don't have to live in a conversation about, well, yeah, but you can't, or you don't. So I don't have the skill developed yet, but I'm working on it. And one day, if I continue to work on it, I will be able to direct my attention. I'll be able to be present and direct attention all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There, you see the importance of that, right? Because otherwise, we live in an endless conversation of, well, yeah, but you can't do that, and that's not, and you didn't, and how do you know? And if we just put that conversation aside, we're not having that conversation any longer.
Yeah,
and then we start adding to that list of conversations we're not having.
It does seem like that list is growing very quickly.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and it's process, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So there's all. Okay, so we're not talking about that. 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 But what's really going on is that, if you will, muscle of process, of choice, is what's being exercised. That's what's getting stronger, right? Because every time you say, no, I'm not looking at that, I'm not talking about that, not going there, then you reinforce the fact that that choice is yours to make. And it's so important, because the way conditioning gets people is by going from content to content to content to content and keeping people from realizing this is all about process. So when I learn to direct my attention where I want my attention to be, which is here now with this, it doesn't matter what the content is. We don't have to have another discussion about, but this content is really important, and therefore you should get distracted and get upset and feel bad. No, I want my attention here. That is my choice. Doesn't matter what the content is.
Cool.
It is.
That feels like the next step.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or a next step.
Mm-hmm. No, the next step. Let's go with the.
Okay.
Yeah, because A, next step, makes it sound like it's one of 20 different pieces of content, which is what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate would like you to believe. But there's only actually, it's as simple as we're here, or we're not.
Mm-hmm.
We're here or we're not. It's not we're here or there are 10,000 other places we are. No. Those are all filed under not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So life is good.
Good. Life is good. It really is. It really is. And if we don't know that and we're not feeling grateful, then we're not with life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Great to hear that you're doing well. I love that.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Ellie. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita from Laguna Beach.
Hello, hi. Rita.
Hi.
What is going on in Rita's world?
I was just thinking, please see me, please see me, and I finally got on. I've been getting in the queue for 4 months, and I finally get on.
Oh, my
on
goodness.
And I'm, oh, well, I guess it's time. And I'm still laughing about the prison comment that you never went.
Probably should have, but didn't. Managed
yeah,
not to.
As we all. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, in these last 4 months, so much has happened that I wanted to tell you about every single bit of it. One huge thing that happened was I heard the voices of self-hate so loudly and clearly, and I just want to tell you a little bit of how it went. I was fixing something up high in my garage, and I was standing on a shelf and a desk. And when I went to step back, I was being careful because it was dark, and I looked back and I heard the voice say, "Oh, go ahead, step back, you'll be okay," the U word. And so I just sort of got into this, like I was mesmerized or something. And instead of looking, I stepped back, and there wasn't anything there. And I
wow.
fell. Yeah, I fell, which was okay, but the bad part was on the way down, I hit the outside of my left thigh against the desk, and I hit it with such force that it slammed me to the ground, and I broke my arm.
Oh, my gosh.
The first time I've ever
wow.
broken anything, and what really bothered me about it, I mean, the way it got reset and fixed and it cast and everything just laid out so beautifully. I mean, life just stepped in, and I slept like a baby that night. I went nowhere that night. I went the next day, and what really bothered me is that something inside of ourselves would want us to hurt ourselves that badly.
Yes. So, Rita,
mm-hmm.
people deeply, deeply, deeply believe that that conversation inside their head is taking care of them, is on their side. They, oh,
right.
certainly there couldn't be anything. No, come on. Hateful? Oh, that's so extreme. No. Yes. Yes. Yes, would have you fall off of there and break your head.
And possibly kill you. I mean, it's not just hateful.
Yes.
It is diabolical. I mean, it
yes.
is so awful that it's beyond my comprehension to think that we have to deal with that.
Yep. So we don't, of course, which is the good news,
mm-hmm.
right? That is the good news. We don't have to deal with it. Because, again, it's only there and able to do what it does to us
mm-hmm.
if we let it. So, and yours is a perfect example of that, right? So there you are. Now, people could say, Rita, what were you doing standing on that thing in a dark garage? Okay, but we're not going to go there, right? We're just going to start with a voice in your head says, go ahead, step back, it'll be okay, or whatever
you'll
it
be
was.
Okay. You'll be okay. That was the
you'll be okay. Yeah, you'll be okay. And we don't, we're not present enough to say, that is insane. I am not going to trust a voice in my head that doesn't say, now pay close attention because this is precarious. So look where you're stepping and hold on to that voice we would want to attend to,
mm-hmm.
right? But one that says, oh, don't worry about it. Go ahead, just step back there. I'm sure space will hold you.
Well, that one's louder.
Of course it is. That's how. That's our signal not to listen to it, not
yes.
to believe it.
I'm getting
yes.
that. I'm getting that. And
yeah.
Yeah, that was a really major, you know, kind of like the 2x4.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, listen, you know, pay attention to that condition, that self-hate going on in there, because, and since that's happened, I feel a lot stronger that I can separate myself from that.
Yes, good. And you're right about the 2x4, right? Because, you know, somebody like me can go blah, 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 blah. And it all sounds, you know, somewhere between reasonable and paranoid, right up until we have our own experience of it, right?
Yes.
And when we have our own experience, it's, okay, this is real. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a low-stakes game. This is serious.
Yeah. It's a little bit frightening, you know, that...
It should just scare the pee-wadden out of us.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, shocking to me.
Yes.
The other thing that has happened that's big... is I'm 64 and I quit my job and
uh-huh.
I went in to do it. I have an office in where I live and I couldn't physically pass the threshold. It's like
wow.
the wall was there and I didn't hit the wall. I just couldn't get past it. And I quit. And that day, it was a Monday, so many things happened that day that were so, I call it Miracle Monday. I saw a shooting star at 5 in the morning through a little tiny window that showed barely any sky, and I thought, okay, that's nice. I had a friend tell me, you know, you're only doing that job for the money, and it's not very much money, And then I found something I had given up on 3 months earlier, and it was expensive, and it shows up dangling off the fringe of an umbrella.
I had one of those. Oh, isn't that a moment?
Yes,
oh,
I felt like that was enough. That was my life right there. It's like, oh my, it was dangling in front of my face. I mean, it couldn't have been more obvious. Oh my God, I thought you were gone. And then I quit my job, and 2 hours later, someone else called me from another publication telling me that they were, you know, off their schedule and all that, but by the end of the conversation had given me an assignment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much money, and I still don't have a job. But the next morning, I woke up feeling surprisingly wealthy and abundant. I don't know where that came from.
Yes, yes. Well, from a lot of places, right?
Mm-hmm.
From a shooting star to a friend who supports you in mm-hmm. doing something that your heart wants you to do, to
mm-hmm.
doing it, to having somebody come along and offer you other work. I mean, and your thing shows up dangling off your umbrella. I mean, that's a lot of abundance.
Yes, and the assignment that I was given was in a magazine that I write. They write about spirituality, health, the environment, nature, everything I love.
Since I met you, you have wanted to have that opportunity.
Yes, and.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is, and I'm mm-hmm. enjoying it. It's also giving me time to work on my own project, which conditioning is kind of playing with me about, but I'm getting there, and I'm enjoying that. So,
good.
Yeah, it's been
It's been a wild and woolly last 4 months.
And a good one, right? Wild, woolly, and good. Yeah, we always want to end on that, right? Wild, woolly, and good.
And good. And I've really learned to appreciate my left arm and hand. Boy, they were more skilled than I ever imagined. They came in handy.
I'm
in deep gratitude for that. And really,
in the future, when somebody says, are you right-handed or left-handed? You're going to say both.
Yes, I am. And I'm continuing to use my left hand because I'm not going to relegate it to the sidekick position anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's an important player.
It is.
All right. Well, that is so fun and makes me very, very happy.
Woo! It's exciting.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
good.
That.
Yes.
All right.
It's good.
Thank you, Sherry. We'll continue
Thank
on.
Thank you. Take good care. Stay in touch.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Michael.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Rita. And what a great way to end the show tonight, Sherry. That was great.
I know. I've got that. My face is hurting from grinning thing. Yeah, it's good. I love it.
Yeah. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here tonight.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael. I so appreciate it. And I think we get to meet again next week.
Wonderful. I look forward to it.
Me too. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.